Peyton Denman's father delivered me.
What were your parents' names?
My father was Thomas Maxfield Anderson, and my mother was Mary L.E.H. Leah L.A. capital R.U.E. LaRue.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a school teacher. He got his diploma from Huntsville, and he taught school a while, and then he was the first elected county school superintendent. He was superintendent for a year, and then he went back to teaching.
What are your children's names?
My oldest daughter is Jean, is Sandra, and Jean Marie.
Now, then, you have some grandchildren?
Four grandchildren.
And great-grandchildren?
Four great-grandchildren.
When did you first come to Divall? When did you first come to Divall?
In 1940.
How did you find out about the job here?
I was working at Taylor Clinic at the time. I'd been working with them. It was up over Taylor Hardware. Dr. T.A. Taylor and Dr. Robert. I liked it real well. Miss Temple wanted me to come nurse Miss Temple, and then he said he would give me the company job. So I came on down here. And later, Dr. Robert called and asked how much I made, and I told him, and he said he'd give me more than that if I would come back, but I told him that I liked it down here, and had the company insurance and everything, and I'd rather stay down here.
And the first doctor you worked for was Dr.
J.R. Dale.
J.R. Dale. And can you tell us something about your typical day in the office?
Well, it was, there'd be cuts and foreign bodies in the eyes, and so many different things. And about the second day I was there, well, Dr. Dale told me that a lady was coming in with ingrowing toenails. And when she came in for me to go ahead and clean it up and deaden it, and then called him in there, and he'd remove her toenails. So a lady came out there, and I asked her, what was her trouble? And she said she had real bad ingrowing toenails and wanted to see Dr. Dale. So I carried her in there and cleaned her toenails up and deadened them, and went and got Dr. Dale, and I thought he looked at me peculiar. And he took her toenails out, and after she left, he said that wasn't the lady that I was expecting, but they needed it anyhow. Another time, right after then, a man came in, I remember him real well, and said he had foreign body in his eyes, and Dr. Dale told me to get it out. And so I put something in his eye and got the foreign body out, and I knew him well, and I called his name. I said, there's something in your other eye, I'll get it out. He said, Noam, you need to get it out. Noam, I said, of course I will. I know it's bothering you. I'll get it out. I pulled it down to get it out, and his eyeball flew out on the floor. And I screamed till you could have heard me block, and Dr. Dale came running in and asked me in no uncertain terms what was wrong. And I asked the man why he didn't tell me. Had a glass eye. It looked so natural. He said, I just didn't want to, ma'am. So that shook me up.
I guess so. y'all delivered a lot of babies, didn't you?
Yes, we delivered so many babies, and sometimes two in one night. And I kept three sterile OB packs, and then when we'd have two, or as soon as I'd get in the morning, I'd go ahead and fix the packs up and sterilize some more. And I sure wish that I had kept a count of the babies I helped deliver and their names. And the first baby I helped deliver was with Dr. Rushing in East Mayfield, Temple Plant. And he kept a little book and put down the names of the babies he delivered, and I started to, but I never did do it. And I want to give credit to Wildell Warnock, the registered nurse that was there then that got me started working and taught me everything I know, and gave me her books and taught me how to keep things sterile. And she still lives in Pineland. She went on to Pineland from there, and she's been retired a number of years. And I still see her often, not as often as I'd like to.
Oh, then you give her credit for getting you interested in nursing.
Interested, I sure do. And it made me think the way it came about was we were friends, and I'd go to the office, and she got me started working. And I remembered how my father wanted me to be a nurse. He gave me that book to read about Florence Nightingale and told me he wanted me to be a nurse. And I was sure grateful to her. No, they didn't pay if they worked for the company. Everybody paid $1.25 a month doctor fees. And so we would have to, we'd make house calls and then make a difference what was wrong. They called us, we had to go. Sometimes we got there and be for a bad cold.
You didn't get anything extra for a house call?
No. And later on, the insurance company went to paying $15 for baby cases and for the ones that worked for the company. And I remember the first one very well because the man said that was his $15. He wasn't going to give it to the doctor. Made Dr. Dale real unhappy, but Mr. Henry Temple told him to give the man his money and that he'd put out a letter and let people know that $15 from the insurance was for the doctor, and he did that.
Okay, and if somebody did not work for the company, would Dr. Dale see them?
Yes, he would see them, and he charged them. But if they told him they didn't have the money, he would attend to them anyway.
Can you tell us something about some of the more interesting baby cases that you've done?
Oh, all of the company houses had electricity, but so many that we went to, the outside ones didn't have electricity. And we would have to hold lamps. Somebody would hold them, or I would hold it for Dr. Dale. And also, so many of them were in one room, and all the family would be in there. And we had to work real quietly to keep from awake. And we were really blessed. We never did wake the children. So I was grateful for that.
Did you ever get stuck in the mud when you had to go out at night after it had been raining in the country?
I don't remember ever getting stuck, because if it was real bad and we had to go out in the country, the people carried us out there in their car. They knew the roads, and so we didn't. I remember one case in the country that we went to, and it's right after I came here, and I didn't know my way around very well. And after we'd been there a little while, Dr. Dale sat down in some gum, got it on his trousers, and he insisted that I had to go and tell his wife to send him another pair of trousers. That gum was on him, and I told him he could put ice on it and get it off, that I would get lost. I didn't know the way back. But he made me go, and I left very unhappy and wishing that I wouldn't find my way back. But I made it back all right, and we got the baby delivered.
Now, when you first started to work, where was the office located?
It was upstairs over the commissary, and there was an old elevator there. that if people weren't able to walk up the stairs, they came up that elevator. And it was three or four rooms, I believe it was. And my laboratory was in the back, and the first aid room in the front. One doctor that came there said I'd tell them that I was a nurse or a laboratory technician. One, I wouldn't keep running from the front to the back. And I says, oh, I don't mind.
Did you ever keep patients up there with your beds?
No. There was a bed up there, that a table, and we gave diathermy treatments on. But we never did keep any patients up there.
Did you ever go to the hospital?
Yes. We went to the hospital when the patient wanted to go to the hospital. Well, we went with him. I took a course in laboratory and x-ray work after I came here, and Miss Bernice Jones was a technician then, and I took that course, and I would do blood counts and make the x-rays, and if they had to go to the hospital, well, they usually wanted me to go with them too, and so Dr. Dale would assist with the operation, but they would let me go in the operating room with the patient too.
What were your duties, more or less, helping
them? Well, giving shots, so many routine things, but then he taught me to suture, and soon he was having me do all the suture. I didn't mind because I would deaden it and do the best I could, and I guess I was doing all right because I never heard any complaints.
Well, you remember first
yes. After the insurance company went to pay it, that $15 spent in two people had insurance. Well, they wanted to go to the hospital, but Dr. Dale never had been delivered the baby in the hospital. And he didn't want to go. He said he wasn't going. And so I talked to Virgie Birchfield that was in the delivery room and told her that I was going to get him to bring the baby cases up there. They wanted to go. And for her to stay right by Dr. Dale and help him, she said she would. And the first week case we had was Henry Lawrence. Mr. Lawrence came up the stairs, and Dr. Dale wasn't in the room then, and he said, my wife sure wants Doc to deliver this baby, but he won't go to the hospital, and she wants to go to the hospital. I said, well, he'll go with the hospital, and he said, oh, I'm so glad. And Dr. Bell came in about that time, and I left out. And when I came back, he was real unhappy. I don't know why. I told Mr. Lawrence he'd take him, his wife, to the hospital to deliver that baby. And I told him, well, he was going to have to start going to the hospital to deliver him, or he would quit delivering because they wanted to go to the hospital. They had insurance. So Henry Lawrence was the first one, and he got a lot of good advice. $15. No, he couldn't charge company employees anything outside $15. When I first came there, I made $60 a month. But when Dr. Robert and Dr. Kidd called me to come back up there, well, Ms. Temple knew about it, and they said they'd pay me more, so he gave me a $20 raise. I was making $3.56 an hour then. And if I was called out at night, the plywood company was really the main one that would call me out at night for injuries. And so I got paid extra for that.
Do you have any more stories about Dr. Dale? How would you describe him to the person?
Well, so many people thought he was hard-hearted, and he wasn't really. If somebody didn't treat him right, he didn't forget it. And but if they was treated him right, he remembered them, and he was good to them. And if they came in there and didn't have the money and told him they didn't, he would treat them. And if they came in for him to deliver a baby and told him they didn't have the money, well, he would deliver the baby. But if they told him they did have the money and didn't, it really made him unhappy.
Who were some of the other doctors you worked for that would come in?
Well, they, a first doctor that came there to help Dr. Dale was a doctor from Cargan. I can't remember his name. And then the next one was Dr. Harrington. He stayed there quite a while. And then there was Dr. Beasley, that who had been the company doctor quite a while before, came and helped him. And Dr. Montgomery stayed there quite a while. And Dr. Dan Spivey stayed quite a while.
Dr. Dale worked.
He didn't retire. He worked till he died. He was assisting with an operation, and he had a smothering spell. And he went back to the doctor the next day, but they couldn't find anything wrong. But I went in one morning, and he was on a cot in there. It was on Saturday morning. Well, I knew there's something bad wrong with him, and he had sent quite a few patients to Dr. Ledbetter in Houston, and I called him, and he told him to send him down there as soon as he could. And Dr. Dale had heart failure, and he never did come home.
Well, after Dr. Dale died, I mean, before he died, y'all had moved your offices, hadn't you?
Yes, in about 48 or 49, I believe it was, when after Mr. Arthur Temple came here, he built the present clinic now behind the office, and we moved over there.
After Dr. Dale died, how did your duties change?
Well, I stayed there 3 months by myself. Of course, I could call Dr. Clements or Dr. Spivey or some other doctor, they would advise me. And so I was there 3 months before they got another doctor, and that was Dr. Rice. And after he came there, well, his wife was a nurse, and he wanted her to work for him. So they put me as a plant nurse over at the personnel office.
That's where you work.
Uh-huh.
What did you do as a plant nurse?
Well, I did all the first aid. I was a receptionist, and did all the first aid and kept first aid kits for all the people, the woods crews, and ordered all the supplies. And I signed people up to go to work. And I was secretary to Mr. Joe Denman and Mr. Kelsey Roach and Mr. Jack Sweeney and Mr. Carol Allen and Mr. Dave Mitchell at different times. But the last one was there was Mr. Sweeney when I left. He was real nice too.
Before we go on, do you have any other stories that comes to mind about Dr. Dale?
I remember one. There was a man that would come get Dr. Dale. Say his wife was having a heart attack, but it was, he had been going fishing, and when he started to go fishing, she got where she had a heart attack. And Dr. Dale went a few times, and then there wasn't anything wrong with her, so he told the man not to come get him anymore, to go on fishing. There was nothing wrong with his wife. So the man went on. It worked for about a year, but he weakened, and she said she was having a heart attack when he started to go fishing. And he came and got Dr. Dale, and it made him real unhappy. And he wrote a prescription for some weak vanilla water for him to sit up and give her a teaspoonful of it every 15 minutes all night.
He got even, huh?
He sure got even. The man didn't come get him anymore.
Just before you retired, who was your immediate supervisor?
Mr. Vernon Burkhalter, the personnel manager, was my boss.
What year did you retire?
May the 9th, 1976.
Since you retired, what have you spent your time doing?
Well, I haven't spent it very profitably on the garden, and I really like to garden. I use a garden tiller, and I'd raise flowers all the time and furnish the church with flowers, the lawn. But last year I didn't do any of that. I hadn't been feeling as well.
Well, you've always been active in the church, Methodist Church. Did you belong to any other club?
In the church?
No, besides the church. Pilot Club?
No, I joined that, but I didn't. That took up too much time away from home, and I didn't continue that. I liked it. It's a real good organization.
You never knew when you were going to be called out, did you?
No. And while I was working for the company, too, I was chairman of the credit committee for the credit union, too.
From the time you came here in 1940 until you retired, did you see a lot of changes in Diboll taking place?
Oh, yes, there's so much. So many changes.
Since you were so active in church, what were some of your duties?
Well, I was chairman of the finance committee. And I was communion steward for 15 years, and I was a member of the board, and I'm treasurer for the Sunday school class now.
Well, that's something you've always enjoyed.
Yes, very much.
Can you remember, just happen to remember, any other duty that you had for the company that we didn't include before?
Yes, when I first went to work at the personnel office, well, I had to blood type all the new employees. And keep a file on them. And if any of our employees needed blood, I could get their type and then know where to go to find the donor. And the company would furnish a car and carry them to the hospital to give blood. But later we quit that because they had the blood at the hospital. And I was, when I first went over there and was secretary to Mr. Denman, well, I hadn't had much experience in that. And I used the Hunt and Peck on the typewriter. He said he didn't know how in the world I could type as well as I did and as fast. And he always let me make a rough copy, double space. And he was real nice to me. And also, Mr. Sweeney was nice. And Mr. Roach and I had a little differences about that at first. He wanted a letter, perfect, three copies. And I told him Mr. Denman let me make double space, but he didn't want it. But later he let me do that, and we are the very best of friends now. He's as good a friend, he and his family, as good as I have. Of course, Mr. Sweeney was always nice to me.
Lucille, when you and Dr. Dale were delivering so many babies, did many people name their babies for y'all?
Yes, quite a few did. Dr. Dale wanted to fill out the birth certificate right after the baby was born. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning. He was real unhappy if they didn't have a name. And we'd go back first thing the next morning to fill out the birth certificate. And if they didn't have a name, he didn't like it a bit. So we delivered a girl and a boy one night, and they didn't have a name for one of them. We went back the next morning, they still didn't have a name for the girl. And he said, well, I think Lucille's awfully pretty name. So they named it Lucille. We started out the gate. I said, where are we going now, Dr. Dale? Said, that other baby. I said, it's a boy, isn't it? He said yes, and he knew he had it. And we got over there, and they didn't have a name. And I said, I think John Richard's an awfully pretty name. And they named it Richard C. And one of them wanted to name it John Richard Dale Jr., but he told them that's against the law.
Lucille, do you remember how long or when Dr. Dale was here?
Well, he was here in the 20s, and I don't know just when, what year he left, but it was during the 20s, and he went to Corrigan. And then he came back when Dr. Clements left, and that was 1938. I wanted to tell about another baby that was named for me, and I'm sure glad that she's living. That was before Dr. Dale had started taking OB cases to the hospital. And so this lady's baby came prematurely. And she just weighed a little over 2 pounds. And there was no one else there to help. So just as soon as I could, Dr. Dale told me to take the baby and take it to the hospital. And I carried it up there by myself. And I carried it in and sat there waiting a few minutes for some of them to come. And so the nurse said, I'm sorry, we can't take that baby. It wasn't born in the hospital. And I said, do you mean that you're going to let this baby die because she wasn't born here? She said, how old is it? And I looked at my watch, and I said, she's 45 minutes old. So she said, well, we'll take it. And they took it. And and she has grown up to be a fine young woman. And she was named for me. And I do want to say that I really thank lots of Mr. and Ms. Arthur Temple Jr. They have always been real good to Doug and myself. And they are really good friends. And they're the kind of people, if they know you one place, they know you another. And that's like I read in a book on etiquette. Anybody that is anybody, don't look down on anybody. And they're that kind of people. And I do want to say, when I was in the personnel office, that I had two good friends, Geraldine Poland and Betty Basquette. And that's